silence.
I understand that Opportunity was meant to last the equivalent of about 3 Earth months, and it wound up lasting 15 years. Was that surprising? Did it yield more information than you expected? And did you have any kind of emotional attachment when it finally did give in?
Yes and yes. It was both Spirit and Opportunity far exceeded their design shelf life. And, I very frequently would kid a lot of the principal investigators and the engineering team and everybody else by saying, you guys are a bunch of sandbaggers. you just lowered expectations so you could step over the limbo bar. But the reality was, what they had anticipated were a set of factors. This is, yet again, gets into the issue of trying to understand what you think the conditions are going to be based on very limited data. And based on your informed speculation that just proved to be wrong. And that first and foremost speculation was that we assumed that the density of an awful lot of the surface material, dust, everything else on that planet would ultimately clog the capacity to generate power. Because all the solar arrays would be gummed up within some span of time. And that was estimated to be, put something like this out in the Mojave Desert and it's going to be gone in 3 to 6 months. That was kind of what it was based on. Turned out that the unbelievable conditions of the atmosphere there, I mean, very high winds, all kinds of things, basically clean these things up in record time in a way wow. We never imagined would be possible or that we dared not speculate would be something we had to count on. And that's one factor. There were several others that went to this. I think the design characteristics of much of what they built into this was far better than what everybody thought it was going to be. I think there was a view that so much of what we were building into Spirit and Opportunity were what we had available at the time. You know, the mantra on the part of the program management team, once there was a go to achieve this, was let's not go invent anything. Let's not go do a test experiment on, some new, piece of machinery or equipment or capability. We want to take tested, instruments that we know work. And the reason for that wasn't because they weren't curious. They'd love to have tinkered around with it forever. They're engineers, after all. But it was more a function of you've only got a fixed window of about 2 years to actually achieve the launch and landing given the planetary alignments. And if you miss it, then you're going to wait another 2 to 3 years thereafter. So they knew they had a definable window, and they cut down the uncertainties and the risk and the vagaries that went along with designing new equipment by saying, nope, if it doesn't exist on the shelf somewhere, we're not going to use that piece of equipment. And that was a big piece of what they did on this and why it worked. It worked better than they thought it would.
You were a proponent of NASA making moon missions a priority. Can you talk a little bit about the vision for space exploration? And do you still feel that moon missions should be a priority?
Absolutely. No, I think it is, for a non, scientist and engineering type of my, limited technical capacity relative to all the others that are resident right there at NASA, it was a fairly straightforward proposition. Everybody sat back and said, yeah, that's a very sound argument, which is that, I came to realize and finally comprehended in a way that could be transferable to a more public dialogue and statement that the energy it takes, the amount of capacity we have to actually lift something off of this rock, off the Earth, 90% of all that fuel is expended in 8.5 minutes. So when it gets to the outside the atmosphere and it's into orbit, just a basic condition that's no more than on the order of magnitude of 100 or so miles straight up, you've expended most of what you were carrying just getting out of the gravitational grip of this planet, which is what tethers us to the Earth and all the other good things that accrue from that. But in terms of trying to explore something outside of our atmosphere and into outer space as defined, meant that we had to really pour a lot of capability and conventional power generation capacity into just leaving this gravitational grip. Well, you go to the moon and it's a sixth of what we have here. So once you're there, you can go almost anywhere, almost any time. Once you've set up shop, so to speak, and established some kind of preliminary infrastructure capability, and with the capacity of now looking at 3D printing and computer aided design and manufacturing capacities that are far more, I think, intricate and expansive and devised capacity that no longer requires huge forging abilities, that you could actually do it in a shop, in a garage or the equivalent thereof, makes this a really attractive opportunity now, even more so than it was 15 years ago. So all those factors, augur in favor of having the capacity to set up an infrastructure and an ability to have a base there, in addition to understanding more about what's on that surface of the moon itself, that lunar capability, and understanding why is it dissimilar or similar to our own and all those things. It provides all those capabilities. But up until this point, we've only had a dozen people who've ever had the privilege of walking there. And we've only had a handful of go-karts and a few other, items that have been up there in the 1960s and 70s, and that's it. So on the surface of any real import. So now taking the same capabilities we know how to do in somewhere as reasonably close, relatively speaking, as Mars, but at the same time much further away than the moon is, and having the added capacity of saying, okay, once you've understood this and you can establish an infrastructure capability, even a limited sense, you then have the ability to leave that particular surface with far less power generation capabilities than what you need here. And the sheer amount of mass, volume, everything else that you need is best exemplified by watching a Saturn V video take off. That's a big, big rocket that expended one hell of a lot of energy in order just to get 8.5 minutes into orbit.